البيان راديو presents the following lesson live from مسجد الأزهر بأمو.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless you all for attendance. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bless this gathering. As you all know, my brothers, in recent events, as you may have heard, as you may have seen, as you may have read, as you may have heard in the Khutab al-Jumu'ah, as you may have seen on the Manabir, many are speaking about the issue of defending the honor of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, defending the honor of the best creation on earth to ever come to earth, the best of men, the best of messengers, the best of husbands, the best of leaders. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to send peace and blessings upon him. As we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to allow us to have the love for him in his heart that he truly deserves. My brothers, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is such an honored man that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself mentions in the Quran that indeed Allah and the angels send blessings upon him. So, O you who believe, send blessings upon him. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in the Quran, Inna Allah wa malaikatahu yusalluna ala al-nabi. That indeed Allah himself and the angels send peace and blessings upon the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Then we are commanded, Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu, sallu alayhi wa sallimu taslima. O you who believe, if you truly believe, send peace upon him. Send blessings upon him. As the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentions, whenever someone sends peace and blessings upon me, it reaches me. As he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam also mentions, he is stingy, the one who hears my name and does not send peace and blessings upon me. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala honored the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in many ways. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in the Quran that indeed if you love Allah, follow the Messenger of Allah. This is not just honoring him as a man, but honoring his call. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came to call mankind to the truth, to bring them out of falsehood to light, to guide them from the path of shirk to the path of iman. This is what Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam came with. And if you find in history many who attempted to degrade the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, many who have attempted to put his name down, many who have attempted to dishonor him have indeed dishonored themselves. As the scholars mentioned, the one who speaks of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam or tries to dishonor the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam is like the one who looks up into the skies and sees the moon. So he spits at the moon, but what happens? The spit comes back to his face. As they also mentioned, that the one who dishonors the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam is doing nothing but destroying his life in this dunya and his life in the akhirah. Now, does the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam need us to protect his honor? Does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala need us to defend the honor of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? No. Shaykh Abdul Aziz al-Turayfi, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala hasten his release, he mentions that we are in need of defending the honor of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And we are in need of defending the name of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam because it is us who need to affirm our love for the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. It is us who need to make sure that we have the love for the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam in our hearts. Do we truly have the love for the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam in our hearts? Ask yourself this question, my brothers and sisters. Do we truly, truly have the love for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam in our heart, the way we should love him? You know, when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was sitting with Umar radiallahu anhu. Umar radiallahu anhu said to him, Ya Rasulullah, Wallahi, I love you so much, so much. I love you so much. I almost love you as much as I love myself. Yani, I love you so much. And this isn't the love. Umar radiallahu anhu is not talking about the love, you know, that he loves himself. No. But you know, the natural love a human being has for themselves. You know, the natural love you have for yourself that you would save yourself from any harm. You love yourself so much that you won't put yourself in front of a bus. You know, you love yourself so much that if you're dying, you will try to save yourself. So he said, Ya Rasulullah, I love you so much. I almost love you as much as I love myself. Now, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to him, No, Ya Umar, until I become more beloved to you than yourself. And then he said, Ya Rasulullah, I love you more than I love myself. This is the love we as Muslims should have to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Why should we love the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam this way? Wallahi, if we were to sit here and count the blessings of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, or the reasons to love the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we'd need hours. As some of the scholars have written thousands of points, hundreds and thousands of points as to why we should love the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Now, how do we achieve the love of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? And this wasn't part of the lecture, but I thought I'll add it. How does one achieve the love of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? At the end of the day, my brothers, no one can deny that they don't love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Or maybe they can claim it, but really in their heart, everyone loves the Creator. Why? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has placed a love which is part of the fitrah, it's part of the human being, that they love their Creator. Even if they disbelieve, doesn't mean they don't love. However, they have disbelieved. Yeah, and you see the Christians, you see the Jews and the likes. Don't they claim that they love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Don't they claim that they love God? They do. Even though they're kuffar and they're disbelievers, they have disbelieved in the deen of Allah azza wa jal. However, the love for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, my brothers, as the scholars mentioned, it is a love ikhtiyari. This is a love that you have to grow in your heart. It's not a love that just comes. It's not a love that just comes. You have to grow this love. You have to read about this man sallallahu alaihi wasallam. You have to hear about his stories. You have to see what he done. You have to see his sacrifices and the likes in order for you to grow your love towards him sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So much so, my brothers, that men loved the Prophet so much that they were willing to die for him, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was in Medina. Obviously, after he left Mecca, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was in Medina. This is one scenario to show you why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala placed these men around the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. How much they loved him. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was in Medina. A man by the name of Khalid al-Hudhali from the tribe of Hudhal was in Mecca at the time in Mina. He gathered his tribe and he said, My aim is to kill this man who claims to be a messenger. Talking about the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So he gathered his tribe and he gathered his men. And he said, obviously he made it his... And he wanted to accomplish that mission by killing the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. News reached the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They said, "Oh, Messenger of Allah, a man by the name of Khalid al-Hudhali is claiming to want to kill you, and he's gathering an army to attack you and kill you." The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Ana aqtuluh." He says, "I will kill him." This is war. This is war. Here we're talking warfare. Here we're talking the Prophet ﷺ is in Medina. Mecca has waged war on the Prophet ﷺ. And this is a man from the enemies claiming he wants the head of the Prophet ﷺ. So the Prophet ﷺ says, I will kill him. He goes to the companions radiallahu anhum. And he says, a man by the name of Khalid al-Hudhali is claiming to want to kill me. Who will bring me his head? This hadith is in Bukhari. Who will bring me his head? So all the Sahaba stood up. One of the Sahaba came to the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and they said, and then he said to him, Ya Rasulullah, wa ma lahu? Okay, the one who brings you his head, what is for him in return? He says, lahu al-jannah, for him is Jannah. He says, I will bring his head, Ya Rasulullah. He says, but O Messenger of Allah, I have one question. I have never seen this man before, nor do I know him. What does he look like? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, he is a man who's the chief of his people. Yani, he's the head of his people. He's a big build. Fasihul lisan, he said, he's very eloquent with his tongue. When he speaks, people go quiet and listen. He says, وَإِذَا رَأَيْتُهُ تَهَابَهُ. If you see him, if you lock eyes with him, a fear in your heart. Yani, you know, subhanAllah, an aura. Some men, some people have an aura about them. They're just naturally scary. But obviously, the people of Iman, they don't fear anyone except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He says, but there's an aura about this individual. Let me give you an example. Just like if a lion was to walk into the masjid. I don't care how tough you are. You're going to have a bit of that. You know, you're going to give that lion a bit of attention. You're going to have a bit of fear towards that lion. The lion is scary. But yani, you're going to have a little bit of that, you know, inclination towards fear. However, the fear of Allah overrides that. These are for the people of Iman and Taqwa. He says, I set out in the night, and it's 10 days journey, huh? 10 days and nights journey from Medina to Mecca. He says, it was so hot that I had to sleep the day and travel at night. Alone. He said, I wanted to take the short route. I didn't want to take the preferred travel route. You know, they'd have preferred routes that they travel. You know, as you have today, the planes travel a certain route because it's the safest route. So they'd have certain, you can call it highways, that they travel to get to places. He says, I didn't want to take that preferred route because it would take me a bit longer. So I took the more dangerous route. Sleeping during the day, traveling the night. He said, until I reached Mecca. I got to Mecca where Khalid was. He says, so I started to scream, my camel, I have lost my camel. So the people of Mecca came to him and they said, what does your camel look like? Blah, 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 blah. He made a story. At the end of the day, this is warfare. This is psychological warfare, whatever you want to call it. This is warfare. And obviously they're at war and they're enemies. So he says, I have lost my camel, I have lost my camel. Then he sees a group of men gathering. And he says, why are these men gathering? He said, they are the tribe of Hudhal. They are gathering around their chief. They are plotting to kill a man who claims to be a messenger that goes by the name of Muhammad. He says, I want to follow them on that journey. So he goes to the group, sits with the group, mixes with the group, gets to Khalid, says to him, I want to accompany you on your journey to kill this man named Muhammad. He says, do you allow me to stay in your tent the evening? Khalid al-Hudhali said to him, why would I allow you to stay in my tent? Stay anywhere. He says, I hear you're a poet. Didn't the Prophet ﷺ say he was eloquent with his tongue and he's a poet? He says, I hear you're a poet and you love poetry. He says, and so am I a poet. He says, let me stay in your tent and we'll exchange poetry. So he allowed him so, and they exchanged poetry. The Sahabi whose name is Abdullah ibn Unais, this is the Sahabi speaking, he says, I stayed in his tent until he got tired and he said, I am off to sleep. So he went to sleep. He says, after he went to sleep, I got up, I killed him, yani I did what the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam ordered me to do. He said, I wrapped his head in a bag and I went back to Mecca, to Medina. This is who? This is the man who's claiming to kill him. This is his enemy. They are at war. They are at war. This can't happen at any time. This can't happen to anybody, no. This is only when they're at war. So, yani it's not like he can just set out whenever he wants. No, they are at war, and he set to kill the Prophet ﷺ, and the Prophet ﷺ ordered to have this man killed. And we don't shy away from that. This is part of our Islamic history. He takes him back to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he gives his head to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says to him, "May Allah bless your face." He says, "Ya Rasulullah, okay, what about Jannah? May you promise me Jannah? Look at what they wanted, subhanallah. You promised me Jannah. I've accomplished this. You've promised me Jannah." So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam picks a stick off the floor. He says, "Take this stick. Recline on this stick." He says, "I will know you by this stick on the day of judgment." Yani on the day of resurrection, I will know you from this stick, because on that day, not many will be reclining on a stick. And if you think about it, don't we know on the day of judgment, some will be walking in sweat, some will be drowning in their sweat, some will be walking and falling, it will be so hot, some people will be struggling, a lot of people will be struggling. He says, not many are going to be reclining, because a stick helps you, you recline on a stick. He says, take this on the day of judgment, I know you by this stick. So look at how the Sahaba honored the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. When his honor, when his name was put in jeopardy, this is how they acted. That's just one. And their Sahaba. How about how Allah Azza wa Jal honors the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Allah Azza wa Jal says to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, فَسَيَكْفِيكَهُمُ اللَّهُ. Allah will suffice you there. Talking about the mushrikeen, the ones who want to dishonor the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And wallahu ya'simuka min an-nas, Allah will protect you from the people. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he came and he began the call to Islam, obviously we all know his uncle Abu Lahab became one of his worst enemies. And his two sons, Utbah and Utaybah, were married to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's daughters, Kulthum and Ruqayya. So obviously the Abu Lahab would cause him harm, would cause the Prophet ﷺ harm. He would see him praying, he'd throw guts on him, he'd throw sheep droppings on him, he'd put rubbish in front of his house, he'd try to cause him harm. Whenever he'd hear the Prophet ﷺ call towards Islam, he would say he's a liar. Whenever a van or a trade would come, he would pay them money not to trade to the Muslims or the Prophet ﷺ. His wife would put thorns on the door of the Prophet ﷺ so that the Prophet ﷺ can hurt himself. So Allah Azza wa Jal revealed the verses about Abu Lahab and his wife, that they are cursed, they are from the hellfire, they will be in hellfire forever and the likes. Abu Lahab didn't like this and he ordered his two sons to divorce the two daughters of the Prophet ﷺ. So they did. Utaybah was about to set towards Yemen with his father, Abu Lahab. He says, "By Allah, before I leave, I am going to go to Muhammad and I am going to curse him and dishonor him before I set, yani, before I set off on my travel, on my journey." So he goes to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and he says to him, "Ya Muhammad, inni kafirun bin najmi idha hawa." Obviously, this is a verse from the Quran. He says, "I disbelieve in this verse." Then he went so forth to the great Jibreel alayhi salam to say, "Walladhi zana fatadanna." In the ayah, it's "thumma dana fatadanna." So saying, and the one who committed adultery then drew closer. This is talking about Jibreel and Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, that they drew closer to each other. So he dishonored the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam when it came to matters of deen. And nothing hurt the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam more than seeing disbelief and kufr. Never was the Prophet ﷺ affected by people, you know, speaking of him or his family or making ill comments towards him. Only when the deen of Allah Azza wa Jal was attacked, the Prophet ﷺ would get angry. Just like the Sahaba would mention, the angriest we ever seen the Prophet ﷺ was when he saw actions of kufr and shirk happen in front of him. They said so much so that his beloved vein would appear on his head. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He went to curse the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "Allahumma sallit alayhi kalban min kilabik." Oh Allah, set loose on him one of the dogs of your dogs. Yani, a dog from your dogs, set it free on him. This is the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now, to the Arabs, the word kalb can be used for many animals. Doesn't have to necessarily mean a dog. Anyway, they set off towards Yemen. They reached an area where they have to camp. So they saw a man, and they said to this man, "Oh, dear man, we need to set camp." This is Utaybah, obviously after he divorced the daughter of the Prophet ﷺ, cursing the Prophet ﷺ and the likes. He said, "Yeah." They said, "Oh, man, we would like to set camp. We have come from Mecca. We want to set camp." He says, "You guys have chosen the worst area to set camp." They said, "Why?" He said, "The area you want to set camp is infested with lions and tigers and jaguars and cheetahs. This is not a good place to set camp." They said, "Well, our camels are tired. They can no longer continue. Our horses are thirsty. We cannot continue. We have to set camp." So they decided to set a camp. Abu Lahab said, "I am the chief of this caravan. I order that everyone sets their camp around my son," because he knew the Prophet ﷺ made dua against his son. So he says, "Let my son sleep in the middle. Place all your luggage under him so that he's off the ground." And subhanAllah, look, they disbelieved in the Prophet ﷺ, even though they knew that this man's dua is always accepted. So he said, "Set all your stuff. Let my son sleep on top, and you guys all surround him." He says, "Just in case a lion or something wants to attack, it won't just come in and attack him." The Sahabi who's mentioning this at the time wasn't Muslim, but he was in that camp. He says, "We saw a lion come and start to circulate the camp." He says, "And this lion would circle and circle." And he says, "One lion." He said, "We didn't see anything else. One lion would come and circle the camp. And circle the camp. And circle the camp." He says, "And we see the fear in the eyes of Abu Lahab and his son Utaybah." So we asked his son, "What is the issue?" He said, "Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam," he said, "Muhammad has made dua against me that Allah set loose a dog of the dogs to get me." He said, "And this man's dua is never rejected." Anyway, the lion left. So they set camp and they went to sleep. This Sahabi couldn't sleep. I wouldn't sleep either if I saw a lion. He says, "I couldn't sleep." He says, "Deep into the night," he says, "the lion comes back." He says, "The lion came to me." He said, "Came to my feet, stiffed my feet, came to me, came to my head, got to my neck," he said, "until the point I thought I was dead." He said, "And then left me." He says, "Went to my companion next to me, sniffed him up and down, didn't do nothing." He says, "Went around the camp one by one by one." He says, "I am watching this lion." He said, "Until the lion climbed up on the luggage to where Utaybah was sleeping." He says, "I am watching the lion. The lion sniffed him from toe toward till he got to his neck. As soon as he got to his neck, he ripped his head off." This is in the seerah. This is truth, my brothers. It says, "Until he got to his neck. When he got to his neck, within one lash, he ripped his head off." The lion defended the honor of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But who sent the lion? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala defends the honor of his beloved. So now we spoke of a sahabi who defended the honor of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We spoke to how Allah Azza wa Jal sent an animal to defend the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and we'll speak of one more and we'll end inshaAllah. My brothers, not long ago, 1890, 1890, what are we now, 2020? 130 years ago, 1890. The Ottoman Empire, may Allah bless the Ottomans. A man by the name of Sultan Abdul Hamid Khan II The French and the British, obviously at that time the Ottoman was an empire. And we all know what an empire is. It's not just one little area, it was an empire. Different parts of the world was under the Ottoman rule. And the Ottoman rule was a caliphate, a khalifa, a khilafa. So, some people from the French and the British, well, it was really the British, were publishing propaganda to try to degrade the Muslim Khilafa and the Khalifa himself and the generals around the Khalifa, the ministers. So they began by publishing papers and images of the Khalifa, of the Sultan, you know, with his head decapitated, with the Sultan's head with a snake and the like, saying Abd al-Hamid must go, the Khilafa must fall, and the likes. However, the French newspaper released an article about a play, yani a theatre play, that was going to take place in Paris. All right, 130 years ago, not long ago, yani. The other day, you can say. A play that was going to happen in Paris where they mentioned the name of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So news reached the Sultan. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have mercy on his soul. News reached the Sultan. He reads of this and goes out to his ministers. He says, my issue is not that they insult me or insult you. He says, my issue is that they insult our Prophet and I'm lost for words. Yani, he's saying, I'm lost for words. He's like, they're insulting the master of the universe. I don't care if they attack me. Yani, if they want to attack me, I don't care. If they want to put my name down, I don't care. However, they insult my religion and insult my Prophet. Talking about yani this play. He says, I will die, I will rather me die than come back to life and die again than them attack the honor of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He says, I would rather me be killed and come back to life and hold a sword in order to honor the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He says, by Allah, they think they are mocking us by this little pity. He says, by Allah, I have to defend him. Yani, not that. Not that he needs my defense. He says, but I need to prove my love to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And we need to show these kuffar that we indeed love our Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And that our Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam is a red line. He says, this is proof that our enemies are dishonored and that they have no shame and that they are weakened and cowardly. He says, call upon the French ambassador. Yani the French, call upon the French ambassador. They called upon the French ambassador who was at the time in the headquarters, and he had his cavalry with him. He had a group of his ministers and the likes. So, after he called on the French legation, they were parked outside his palace, you know, with their chariots and whatever. He calls upon the ambassador himself. The ambassador comes up. The Sultan had changed from his clothes, and he wore his military clothing. And he had his sword on him. So the ambassador walks in through the door. And he thinks that he was called upon for something small, yani. And he says, oh Sultan, we would like to notify you that the legation has now, you know, this man has so far joined our legation. So the Sultan Abd al-Hamid, may Allah have mercy on him, said, he said, do you think we call you here for little things like this? He says, news has reached me that a play will be taking place in Paris today, tonight. He says, and in this play, you guys have put the name of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now listen to what he says, because I want to say word by word. He says, I am the Sultan of the Balkans, Iraq, Syria, Mount Lebanon, Hejaz, the Caucasus, and Anatolia. That's massive. Yani, all of these are under my empire. He says, I am the Caliph of the Muslims, Abd al-Hamid Khan. He says, by Allah, I will collapse your world upon you. Yani, I will make your world collapse around you if you don't cancel this plague. And he gave him the paper. Yani, that was waging war. Abd al-Hamid Khan, may Allah have mercy on him, waged war against French, against France, waged the war. Yani this, if this play goes on, war. I'm going to turn the world above your heads. War. And may Allah have mercy on them, the Turks were known not to be messed with. You know, the Ottoman Empire was known not to trigger, not to mess with them, because, you know, subhanAllah, there's this thing that says, or there's this statement that was mentioned a lot about the Turks, is they say his mind is the mind of a Turk. Yani, when he says he's going to do something, or when he points towards something, or when something is in his head and he's put forth with it and he believes it, he's doing it. Classic example, all right? Mehmet II. Another what? Another Turkish caliph, sultan, took down the whole Roman Empire because of his thick-headed. He was just thick-headed. He said, I'm taking Constantinople. Within 35 days, he took Constantinople. 35 generals have tried before him to take Constantinople. No one was able to do so. So subhanAllah, they just knew not to mess with the Turks. And this is how he, may Allah have mercy on him, defended the honor of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The British wrote a letter back to the caliphate saying, if we do cancel this play, yani they were meant to have this play as well in Britain. If we do cancel this play, then this play goes against the civil rights of the people and the right for free speech. So he, Abd al-Hamid, may Allah have mercy on him, sent back saying something along the lines of, the right of free speech is a lot less important than the right to live. Yani saying, if this affects their free speech, it's a lot better than you guys going ahead with this and affecting your lives. Yani, war. All out warfare. So this is how these men defended the honor of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. I thought to bring it out that it's not just today that people are trying to dishonor the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It's been done before, and many have failed. Many have failed. So we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to place the love for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in our hearts. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to allow us to love the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam the way that these great men loved the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين والحمد لله رب العالمين.
This program was presented by Al Bayan Radio, the voice of Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'ah.